Hello, welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 13th of September, 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Sweden going based. The footballers are revolting, and won't somebody please think of the left's free speech? I know it is so valuable. I know they add so much to the discourse, so we better protect it. But I should mention first, just something that we're plugging on the website that will be going up. So this is our Cyberpunk Dystopia Part 3 that me and Carl will be doing. It will be going out on Wednesday, 3:30 UK time, PM there. I don't know why I specified. It was just like 3:30 in the morning, me and Carl are like, right, time for it.
I mean, Carl is basically bullying you by making you sit through these, so sitting you through one at 3:30 in the morning would be appropriate.
Yeah, we're walking out of the office and he advertised, yeah, by the end of this you want to shoot yourself. And I'm like, that's not...
And he does it with the biggest crap-eating grin on his face as well.
So anyway, if you want to see that, come on, not the shooting, the video, come and check out the hangout we'll be doing at the Cyberpunk Dystopia Part 3 at 3:30 on Wednesday.
I don't know, I'd be interested in that other one as well.
That's a very premium. Otherwise, let's get into Sweden being very based. So, Sweden has announced that it is now based because they've had an election and they did the good things.
They voted to be based.
Yes, they voted based party, and based party and their coalition seems to have won. So I guess we're looking forward to what the Swedes do with that. But firstly, just going to mention some stuff on the website, of course. This one being the most recent contemplations on sneaky journalists, because sneaky journalists are the reason Sweden is in this mess. I mean, there are literal leaks coming out of every left, right, and centre in the last like couple of decades.
Yeah, this was
how journalists were suppressing everything.
Of course. Yeah, this was a fun one. We didn't necessarily go into specific details and like analyse it in any, really academic way. We more just went through a bunch of articles that we found that were very clear and obvious examples of media manipulation and lies, and just pointed out everywhere because, you know, seeing the real world examples might just help people out there.
Yeah, and if you're in Sweden, you'll be no stranger to that, I imagine. Because if we go to the election results now, we can have a look at how the public have reacted after being propagandized for years and years. And as you can see there, Sweden Democrats, the second biggest party, with their other parties in the right-wing coalition making up to, now, the government.
So for those of us who haven't done a crash course in Swedish over the past few days looking into this, so go back up to the top, The ones in yellow are the based ones, right?
Sweden Democrats.
Sort of golden brownie colour.
Yeah, they're the only guys who we've seen in mainstream politics who have lots of seats and just keep growing every election.
And who are the ones in red who've got more than them?
Social Democrats, a bunch of commies. So,
okay.
There you have that. The thing is with Sweden's elections and multi-party democracies like them is it very much seems to be some kind of trench warfare. Just with results, you might notice that the shift between parties is like, 2%, 3%, minus 7.7%. Like, it's very small, but that's just how Swedish elections seem to go, just very slight deviations. But over time, it's finally added up. The only growth you can see in here as well, of course, being the Socialists, Sweden Democrats, and the Greens. Everyone else losing out on their vote share, which is definitely interesting. And if we go to the next link here, we can also see they're already complaining. The media are already complaining that the Swedish Democrat voters, the based voters, are the most loyal. Yeah, funny that. It's almost like people who don't want leftism vote for the non-leftism party.
Wait, most,
I'm amazed.
Most loyal to what? Their party or their country?
Their party. They'll actually stay with their own party. It's like, yeah. Because there's a myriad of left-wing parties that you can jump between. It's like, yeah.
Maybe,
yeah, that's annoying.
Maybe they care about their country.
Yeah. If we go to the seats itself, because of course this being the important thing, as we can see there, the coalition of right-wingers, Sweden Democrats being the biggest party there, now have one seat. Which is like one seat over the threshold. That was enough.
So they won.
Yeah, they won with one seat in the coalition, which is hilarious, to say the least. Just that's how close it is in Sweden, but there you have it. I also just love that it's finally here. I mean, I for anyone who's been paying attention for a long enough time to anything to do with Sweden, the only stories you ever hear of grenade attacks, migrant attacks, how, you know, they've printed more armbands that say "don't rape me" in Swedish for Swedish girls.
Did they work?
No, the rapists don't speak Swedish.
They didn't work this time?
No.
Maybe next time.
They had to print them in Somali.
Oh, okay. Did they work then?
No.
No, maybe next time. Okay.
It's just really...
Did they say the magic word? Did they put a "please don't rape me"?
I think it was a Swedish minister or some EU minister in Sweden who had their own daughter raped and then did like a collection for refugees at the funeral after she was killed.
She was killed?
Yeah.
I remember in...
My point is that just Sweden has gone through decades of madness.
Yeah, Scandinavia has been gaslighting itself and been massively abused. I think it's in The Strange Death of Europe, Douglas Murray recounts a story of one of these Scandinavian politicians or politicians' daughters being abused like that and then coming out in public afterwards and being like, well, you know, I can't go and blame the migrants, can I? I mean, the circumstances they come from.
She didn't want to bring charges against her rapist. Because, well, he has a mind.
There is such a thing as being too tolerant.
Yeah, and if you're new to the horror show that is just anything that comes out of Sweden for the rest of us, then I suppose we'll look at why on earth would they do this? Why on earth were they over them? Well, it turns out Captain Sweden here, this is a meme to represent all Swedish politics over the last few years, isn't actually a viable policy strategy. Just saying, yes, Sweden.
But look at his strong thighs.
So tolerant. It's unironically ridiculous.
He can crush fascism with those strong thighs.
Yeah. If you wonder what the hell this meme is birthed from, it's from the examples we mentioned, but also if you go to the next one here, this is polling done in 2014, apparently, of European countries' views on non-EU migration. And as you can see, most of Europe and the, let's say, Western sphere, as you might dub it, are like, they're not too sure, but in the middle.
They're not fond.
No, you have the Mediterraneans and the Eastern Europeans who are like, no thanks. Just, no more. No, we're good. This is in 2014. This is even before the great migrant, you know, crisis.
This is before everybody knew better.
2016, which Mama Merkel said, please come. And you can see the Swedish at like, what was it, plus 70%? They're just like, yeah, oh, everything is great. We love printing these armbands.
We've got all the meatballs.
Anyway.
That was not a Swedish accent. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't. But you can see in here, just in the comments, I just love going back and checking out the internet archives, because there's some Danish commenter who writes, in some way, I really admire Sweden. And then some Romanian just responds, yeah, sure, just give it 20 years.
Yeah, well, not even that.
It didn't take that long. Romania, don't worry about it.
Don't worry. We, like a battered spouse, we've all learned the hard way.
It took 8 years. It took 8 whole years, but the Sweden Democrats are now going to be in government, it seems, which will be interesting to see. I know the coalition forming apparently is taking place, so maybe there'll be some skullduggery, but I hope not. But if we go to the next link here, we can see just some lovely Swedish scenery. So this is an Indian poster who is posting, for people listening, a video. The video has, I don't know, about several hundred Shia Muslims.
Some beautiful native Swedish culture.
Yeah.
This is a midsummer celebration, isn't it?
So this is, I believe it's Shia Muslims at Ashura. Ashura is a festival of mourning for, I think it's like one of the battles that took place in Islamic history that none of us in the West care about.
See, that's...
Could not give a crap.
That's very... That's very interesting. The only other context I've heard the word Shura used in is in a Japanese context, in which I'm pretty sure, and I learned this from a video game, Sekiro, so correct me if I'm wrong, pretty sure it means like a demon of hatred.
It's actually Ashura, so it doesn't even...
Oh, Ashura. Okay, well, it sounds close enough.
Yeah, well, this is a festival, and there you have it in Sweden, as it natively has been for 1,000 years, untouched. And it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just comical, to say the least. The Indian poster saying, this is Sweden, we are halfway there, our future will be worse if things don't change and people don't accept the real cause. It's like, it's kind of annoying when as a European or someone in the Western world, you have to ask the Indians to please snap us out of it. It's like, yeah, no, this isn't a good idea, trust me. Pakistan's worse than you
well,
think.
Well, yeah, there's...
It's like, who would know?
The Indians and the Pakistanis, not best friends.
No. Speaking of Indians and Pakistanis, though, Pakistanis have also been posting the exact same footage, of course. And they're very happy about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course.
Yeah, here's some Pakistani accounts, legit as well. Someone saying, this is not Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi, or Bangladesh. This is Sweden. Sweden is becoming a new Islamic country. Isn't that a good thing?
This is just, we're winning, lads, isn't it?
Unironically, from this Pakistani poster who is very happy about the situation.
Sweden, do you want random Pakistanis on Twitter to be able to dunk on you so easily? No.
I mean, I kind of do because it's funny, but, you know, for the Swedish people, not so much. If we go to the next one here, I just want to mention, Ashura is also, of course, celebrated in Kabul, of all places. This is actually when I was there. I happened to run into this chap, Lewis here, who was... from some Spanish newspaper, but good photography, as you can see. This area there, if you go to the right, walk down, there's a lovely Shia market who are celebrating Ashura. That's what all the flags are about.
Mm.
Under the previous American government, they stoned a little girl to death for burning pages of the Quran, allegedly. There's no actual proof, but you know.
We really brought freedom and democracy, didn't we?
Yeah, and since then, the Taliban have taken over and are far more moderate. I'm joking, of course, but it's what it is.
I don't know, you had a good enough time.
Yeah, there's also the fact he mentions in here more than 120 people from this community have died in terrorist attacks in Afghanistan these days. Yeah, there's Lewis telling you what will happen. What's the culture like in Kabul? What happens if you bring that culture to Sweden? It doesn't become Swedish. It remains Afghani. And you will get those problems. Which is why Sweden has these problems, to say the least. However, the Swedish political class still haven't got the memo. Because if you go to the next link here, this is a really funny story from the campaigning. So this is a Sweden Democrat who is being condemned for a racist tweet. You say, next stop Kabul. Ooh, what was this in reference to? The Sweden Democrat MP, Tobias Andersson, has been criticized for a disgraceful and a racist tweet in which he posted a picture of a train in the Stockholm Metro, which is a party had paid to have been covered in their logo. He said, calling the train the return migration train, you have a one-way ticket. Next stop, Kabul.
Hey, sounds pretty good to me.
What's wrong with that? Kabul's lovely. Are you racist? You think Kabul is a bad place? It's a fantastic place. Look, they have the same flags they have in Sweden. The center party's leader, Annie Lööf, said that the tweet was disgraceful and a racist. Oof. Why? Why exactly?
Also, even if they were, oh well. Don't care anymore.
It's not. It's obviously this. They've just decided, oh, he's saying that it's a foreign place, so that must be like race or something. So you haven't thought about that for a minute. Which is that, no, Kabul actually does look like places in Sweden, as evidenced by the footage. And that means there's nothing wrong with this tweet, because again, Kabul's a lovely place. What's the problem with Kabul? I thought we love diversity and inclusion. Anyway.
It makes us stronger, doesn't it?
Liberal leader, Johan Pearson. I'm going to butcher all of this.
That sounded all right enough.
Who is hoping to join the government with the Swedish Democrat Sport, said it was tragic that Andersson should be ashamed of himself. Well, not anymore. You're going to be in his coalition. But again, Mr. Johan, what's wrong with Kabul? Exactly. The Sweden Democrat leader, Jimmy Åkesson, denied that the tweet was racist, which again, I just love. Just like the leader of the Sweden Democrats just does not give a crap.
Good.
He's also right.
Just remember, just say no.
Yeah, just go new. What they're going to do exactly. It's racismus. I don't. It's not.
Yeah, that's the point. When people throwing names at you only have power for as long as you let the names affect you.
Yeah, and if you just don't. Well, you get the government, apparently.
If anything, if you just don't let it affect you, they look dumber.
I thought we'd also just check out the local effects the Sweden Democrats have been having whilst they've been around. You have the local response here, of course, from them becoming the biggest, second biggest party in Swedish politics. Sweden just elected a neo-Nazi party to the biggest party in the new extreme right-wing coalition. Oh, no. Oh, neo-Nazis. Oh, God, this sounds terrible.
What are we going to do?
I'm sorry, but Swedes, you do sound like you're singing, but don't worry, the Danish sound like they have a potato in the throat, so. While Sweden has steadily moved in this direction over the last 16 years, it's shocking to think of the implications this election will have on democracy, human rights, and equality. Oh, no, no more honour killings. What will Captain Sweden think? It won't be tolerant anymore.
Where will Captain Sweden's strength come from, if not the migrants?
Beatrice over here is just like, Captain Sweden will be swad. We will no longer have a shura every year in Stockholm.
Over here putting on her stab vest, making sure she's got her mace as she goes outside for a quick run to the corner shop. It's like, what will we do?
It's ridiculous. She writes, they run an unapologetically racist political platform. Again, what's wrong with Kabul? Tell me exactly what is wrong with Kabul.
It's the same thing that's wrong with Rwanda. It's not here. That's the only problem these people have.
Everywhere is better than Sweden. Sweden is a racist asshole. It cannot be glorified in any aspect. Foreign places are always better. Foreign people are always better. All cultures are equal. Therefore, what exactly is wrong with Kabul? They can never actually tell you. I mean, it's this weird double standard in which when it's in Sweden, them celebrating Ashura, it's to be fetishized. It is wonderful. But when it's actually in a foreign land, suddenly they have to be like, oh my God, it's like Kabul. Like, well, what's actually wrong with that? It's a double standard they can't actually think through. And there was a consistent stream of reports and evidence of party members and officials expressing racist, anti-Semitic, and anti-democratic opinions and views. We will have neo-Nazis in our government. I mean, you know, sounds pretty bad if we were to take it at face value. Neo-Nazis in the government, that's not a good thing.
I guess those trains won't be running to Kabul after all. Where are they taking those migrants?
So I guess we'll check out what have the Sweden Democrats done locally. I mean, I presume they've built about 5 gas chambers in every marriage.
There must be
taken over. Let's go and check out. There's a newspaper reporting on the Fourth Reich, as is being called here. The Sweden Democrats and the town they govern. What have they been up to? The Pride flag will no longer be flown from municipal council buildings.
No, tell me it's not true.
S in the chats, boys.
This is awful.
A sad day for Sweden.
Who else will trans my kids now?
Captain Sweden is crying. They're right in here. With an eye-catching mix of policies, such as a begging ban and hiring security guards to protect the town. That's the law in the UK, if you're wondering. Being a vagabond is a crime. And we have security to protect, like there is. I don't know why that's radical. I don't know why that's okay. Eye-catching. That's so basic, it's ridiculous.
Isn't hiring security guards to protect the town, that's just the police?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're racist, so...
All right, okay.
They also say national media have reported on various controversies. Thousands of library books and artworks have been thrown away. All right, so there's no more critical race theory in the schools, and the menstruation art has been taken out and given back to the owners. No, thank you.
Oh, no.
The pride flag will no longer be flown from municipal buildings, and a councillor said the town would not buy any more art about menstruation. I can't believe this.
I can't believe you've done this.
I usually buy art about menstruation with taxpayers' money every week. Why would I not?
Yeah. Interestingly, to relate it back to the contemplations that you brought up, this is, from the excerpts that you're reading out here, quite an excellent example of a journalist just subtly framing everything so that the reader goes, not the menstruation artwork, what will we do now? Without actually, you know, engaging the critical faculties of their brain.
And thinking, why the hell do we need to spend taxpayers' money on menstruation artwork?
Like, because that's an interesting, even the way that they phrase that whole thing where it's like, oh, you know, they've hired security for the town. No, that's just police.
Why would they need to hire security for a Swedish town? I mean, it's all those guys going out with the fika, the little cinnamon buns and coffee, smashing each other up.
I mean, if you go back a few decades, I'm sure you hear nothing but good things about Sweden and Scandinavia being incredibly high-trust communities.
Always been a terrible place, always had grenade attacks. Don't think about it. Nationally, the Sweden Democrats say they will only support a government that deports any foreign convicted of a crime. What? That's the standard now, is it?
Okay.
The Sweden Democrats will only support a government if we deport foreigners who commit crimes.
Doing the sensible thing.
That is so basic. That is so, like, not even a policy in my mind. The idea that they're presenting this is like, well, the neo-Nazi party, they have some radical ideas. If a foreigner commits a crime, they deport him. A ban on beggars and stop and search zones to be set up in suburbs hard hit by gang crime. Which, again, all of those policies. How does nobody else want this? How is this like a monopoly the Sweden Democrats have?
I mean,
what they want.
If you were to compare it with, say, suburbs or neighborhoods in America that tend to be hit hard by gang crime, oftentimes you'll find it's the people in those areas who aren't involved in the gangs who are most enthusiastic about increased police presence in those areas. Because, shockingly enough, you don't want your neighbours to all be gang members.
But no one in Swedish politics wants to do that.
No. Nope.
They do want the gang
members.
Most
in America don't want to do it, in politics at least.
If it goes to the next link here, you can see just the evidence as well. I'm really happy to report that, I mean, just look at that graph. Never goes down. Just only increases election upon election. For the Sweden Democrats.
It's only increased the more they've been needed.
Yes. And as you can see, after 2006, everything's 2014. Mm-hmm. 2018.
It starts to ratchet up.
It's going bad, boys. And there's also just a sad reality of voting patterns that came out of this. If you go to the next link here, you can see most Swedish women voted more for the socialists and against the Sweden Democrats, which is really gross when you think about it. Because it's like, right, so I mean, Sweden became the rape capital of Europe because of this. And you're like, yeah, I vote for more rape. Like, huh. And the men are voting against rape, in case you're wondering. So, good job, lads, I suppose. I suppose more women should join you. If you go to the next one here as well, we can also see just more media mauling about the realities. It's like, oh my god, all the Zuma men are voting for the Sweden Democrats.
All the Zuma men want to protect their girlfriends and wives.
Yes, funny that. It's also, I did see someone mention, apparently the Green Party in Sweden and the socialists have suddenly stopped demanding that they lower the voting age. Because in Sweden, the youth are actually like, maybe I would like to own a house and not be raped.
I do think that in a lot of places, you are starting to get, obviously, on Twitter, it's very visible, the woke, insufferable Zoomers. You get the same thing on TikTok. But there is a nice groundswelling of these younger people who are becoming more and more based. Because they look over...
They're asking for such a small thing, though. It's
like, I know.
What if we deport foreign criminals? What if we don't import rapists en masse? I'm sorry, but it is so funny.
That's the problem. They're becoming more based because they look over the past few decades and go, wait, why weren't my parents saying that?
Because I remember Andrew Clavin, I've mentioned it before, where he says, you know, the right wing these days are pathetic. It's a woman. Oh, they know. Oh my God, support them. Like, it's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And the right wing goes wild. And it's like, yeah, you have right wing Zoomers. Again, this is the right wing, okay, saying maybe we should deport foreign criminals. And the right wing are like, oh, yes, how based are the youth? It's like, not really, but this is the best you can get because the rest of the country is actually insane. If you guys the next one here as well, I also just want to enjoy some of the tears from the media. You have some left-wing out here, Expressen, just being like, oh, my God. Front page for the last election. Yesterday, 700,000 Swedes voted for the Sweden Democrats. You scroll down, John. Just to look at the cover. It's so serious, they blanked out.
Oh my goodness.
We have the enemy within. 700,000 people voted for the bad party.
And that full BLM, just black square page as well.
Now over 1.2 million, so turns out anti-rape as an agenda is a popular agenda. There's also just the political campaigns out of all of this, I suppose we'll end this off on and enjoy. The Sweden Democrats are going for the memes, of course, like every political party these days. They decided to go with anime memes, which... okay.
Swede weebs unite.
Yeah, so for people listening, the Sweden Democrats decided to put the face of their leader over a bunch of anime, so we'll play some of that, I suppose.
Music. Oh my God, he's gone full Trin state. Pretty sure that was Okay, so I will just say that would have been far more badass if there'd been some like heavy metal in the background and not whatever that was.
Yeah, sure. But also, I love the end bit there. It only pops up at the end. Like, I didn't add that. That is literally the guys who run the Sweden Democrat account who just write at the end, thanks for watching, communications department. It's just like,
edit out text here.
Just in the end, because I love how they're using so formal language as well. Like, this was from the communications department. But, you know, they're not the only ones who are engaging in meme ads, and the Swedes watching will know what is coming, because there was also the alternative party for the right wing there, the alternative for Sweden, which obviously based on the alternative for Germany in Germany. And they started running their own campaign. I don't believe they got any seats, but they did make some really funny ads, including this one here, which is a trad wife candidate who decided to make a trad wife advert. It's all in Swedish. If you're listening, it's not going to make much sense, but you don't really need it to. It's mostly her working through the wheat fields and being pregnant. Let's play.
Sverige är mitt älskade fosterland. Det är landet mina förfäder slet för. Det är landet jag växte upp i. Och det är landet jag lämnar över till mina barn. Sverige med sin storslagna natur. Full av rikedom.
Gets me every time.
I don't know, man. I'd vote for this woman.
Stolta historia och säregna kultur.
Yeah, Sweden has history and culture. There he is.
That's the thing. You don't see this anymore in political adverts.
Jag vill ge mina barn det Sverige mina förfäder kämpade för.
Just for this advert as well. Wow.
Mitt älskade Sverige.
It's a good advert, I'm not going
to
lie.
I mean, it does appeal to what you would hope that most Swedish people want, which is family, culture, country. And it seemed sincere about it. Obviously, I couldn't understand the words she was saying, so I assume it was sincere, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, she's like, you know, Sweden has a great history and culture, and I want to raise my children here, and we have beautiful nature, and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, just basic statements. But it's just the imagery of her being like, yes, trad wife, want to grow up here.
Look at these berries.
Because it's like, the political message to the men voters is like, protect me. And the message to the women voters is like, you could have this. So, you know, it's not a bad advert either, which is just...
An appeal to what the people want. Women want babies. Men want women who want babies.
Do you want to have a beautiful life with loads of nature and, you know, safe place to raise your kids? And men, you want to protect that.
Come on. Very honourable, very virtuous.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she doesn't seem to have got her position because she ran with the Alternative for Sweden, and therefore they didn't get much votes.
Oh, that's a shame.
Much smaller party. But just the advertising is very funny, to say the least. If you go to the last one here, we can also see just what her posts look like, which of course look like this if you click on the left image there. It's just her with like all these trad women. Just like, yeah, this is our movement, which
it just looks nice. It looks so friendly.
Yeah, just the aesthetics, I must admit, are rather appealing. But otherwise, that is the Swedish voters deciding to vote for the based party and presumably going to get it in government as the coalition talks go on.
We can only hope, because I think you've said that they're, you know, very much about deporting these people and also, I imagine, restricting immigration coming in as it is. So hopefully things are on the up for Sweden.
Yeah, but I suppose on the end of that, I suppose we'll sing Du gamla, du fria. Let's just go to IKEA. Anyway.
I don't know what that meant.
The national anthem.
Oh, okay.
You old, you free. Anyway, let's move on to the footballers.
All right. So the footballers... Let me start that again. The footballers are revolting. Not in that way. They are actively, or at least one or two of them, seem to be actively pushing back against the complete capture of the institution of football that has been undertaken by woke leftists, pushing BLM kneeling, and etc., etc., etc. What you would expect is that they are trying to remake football in their image of the globalist, welcoming, diverse future, whereas it seems that some footballers are just saying, at least quietly, just going like, no, let's not do that. Or at least they're pushing people who are pushing the right messages. And before I go further, I'll just point out that Carl and John, a few months ago, back in February, or quite a while ago now actually, had this premium hangout on why woke remakes are evil. And I think it is important to point out that these remakes are an interesting case because they're not only trying to remake something as like a little piece of side content when you're looking at media and films and such. They're not just trying to get a cash grab off it, although, you know, they are trying to make money and that is a priority. They also want the new thing to function as a permanent replacement. And with that comes the new values that they've inserted into that replacement. They want you to go, why would you watch this old, stupid, fuddy-duddy version when you can watch the new, exciting, radical, and extreme version? And this fails every time, of course, as it should, but it's important to remember that that's why they're putting the messaging in. If these were just pure cash grabs, they wouldn't feel the need to put the messaging in because they'd just be trying to make money. But the fact that they're trying to replace them as well as remake them is why they want to put the messaging in. And also, you've got to remember as well that outrage at race swapping generates easy publicity and dunks that you can do on social media, which is good for advertisement. But before I get onto the football specifically, let's look at an institution that is still very much captured and in the thrall of woke leftist politics, and that would be Hollywood. Hollywood and Walt Disney in particular, who have generated a lot of controversy with this recent trailer for their new film, The Little Mermaid. I say new when it is in fact, of course, a remake. And here's the trailer for it, that they're just, let's just let that play. Tell me if you notice anything unusual or different from the, I assume you've watched the original from the 90s and or the late 80s, I should say.
Funnily enough, no.
Have you actually not?
No.
Oh, fair.
Disney princesses didn't appeal to me as a kid.
Fair play. I was just watching like everything Disney. But one thing that you may notice, that you may be aware of, is the character of Ariel. And she looks a bit different. She looks a bit different in this. Unless...
New hairstyle?
New hair. New a lot. New a lot, actually. Let's see the side-by-side comparisons in this next tweet I've got here, John. If you could scroll down here. Thank you. Thank you. Something unusual has gone on.
New outfit?
That's right. They've desaturated all the colours. And it looks bloody awful, if I'm honest. Obviously, they've race swapped Ariel, and everybody's a bit annoyed about that.
I genuinely, for a moment, thought this was a Netflix meme, like you were pulling a switcheroo on me.
No, this is what it actually is. The Netflix meme is now the Disney meme, because okay. Disney are very happy and eager to do this sort of thing. But yeah, I just want to point out, as well as the obvious race swapping, why does it look so desaturated and ugly? Every one of these new Disney remakes looks as though they've smeared the camera lens in oil. And I just don't like it. It's just a very unappealing look to me.
Well, the left, like the imagery, looks far more fun.
It does, and the fans have voiced their disapproval. If we go to the next one, this is John's tweet that he put out. Scroll down so we can see that like to dislike ratio. I can see the fanboys, the Disney shills, came out in force, 375,000 of them, and you know, fair play for the effort, boys, but the dislikes are somewhat overwhelming them. Just a little bit. And I do always think when
1.2 mil.
Yeah. I do think when something like this happens, I do feel slightly bad for the actors involved, but at the same time, they still accepted the role.
Yeah, like they signed on to be a diversity hire. You knew it was stupid.
You should know what's going to happen. It was like a diversity hire on the Supreme Court. So when she got all the criticism, it's like, Biden specifically said he was hiring you because you're a black woman. You should know that the criticism is coming. I mean, come on. And with the criticism that came with this, a lot of people saying, Ariel was white, actually, don't you remember? We got the Disney shill backlash on Twitter, exemplified by a few that I picked out here, including this man who's coming out with the shocking take, it's a kid's movie, bro, why do you care? It's an underwater wizard movie for kids, why should you care? Racism is crazy, because I'm seeing grown men act like they care about a Little Mermaid movie. I don't think most of them actually care about the film, they more care about the fact that they're kids.
Okay, well, we do Mulan and make her white. Just a kids movie.
Yeah, it's just a kids movie. I do find it hilarious that these people making these comments are leftists when their entire shtick, as far as I'm aware, is being overgrown children.
Yep, there's that too.
Yes, but they mainly care because their kids will be watching these, and they can recognize through this that their kids are being raised by films made by a company that hates the parents. And hates the values that they want to impart on their kids and is actively doing everything possible to distort those. So that might be why you should care. And there was also...
there's a really good way of putting it, because it's like, oh, it's a stupid kids movie, why do you care? It's like, yeah, it's almost like the kids of the future. And I care for my children?
Yeah, I care about the morals that my children, you know, take on, that I'm trying to impart to them. Maybe we should be trying to teach them the good morals, but no, Disney doesn't care about that. Disney doesn't care about that. And then we've got these really weird ones where they're saying, oh, actually, the original Little Mermaid is a queer man self-insertion character because it's Hans Christian Andersen, who was supposedly gay, writing in the 1800s. And it's like, well, that doesn't actually have anything to do with the narrative, though. But, of course, leftists really can't help.
The female mermaid is meant to be a gay man?
Yes.
I'm not sure I buy that.
No, I don't either. I'm not sure either. But leftists can never help but put sexuality on literally everything because their minds are riddled by porn. These people are arch coomers. We can't be surprised that they look at a children's story and go, gay that. Just the way that they couldn't look at two men.
Well, I don't think that's porn. That's queer theory. I mean, literally, we've read the text, so they're just like, yes, well, we should engage in...
It is queer theory, but it's much easier to project this sort of stuff onto stuff if your brain is already addled by porn.
Maybe, but I think these people are just perverted by queer theory and the rest of it. There are plenty of people engaging...
I think they're perverted in more than that.
There are plenty of people engaging in pornography who do not end up like these weirdos.
That might be true, but it doesn't help. It really doesn't help. And then there's the ones who are just, you know, saying, die mad. It's like, okay, well, that makes it very clear what's going on. So the original...
Bring out the white George Floyd movies.
Well, that's the thing. Given that Hans Christian Andersen was a Danishman, it's a Danish folktale, and therefore has a lot of character and value taken from the Danish roots that it comes from.
Leonardo DiCaprio is an American, George Floyd was an American, so what would be the problem?
Yeah, what's the problem there? But this is why they want to have control over this and they want to shove this in your face because they want it to demoralize us. They want it to show us that everybody else is allowed their heritage, but not us. We're not allowed the heritage because that will destroy us. And it's why I think, you remember they got really angry about the Northmen when that came out a few months ago. That's because that was a Nordic folktale told as the Nordic folks from back in the day probably would have wanted. They go, oh, he has strong baby and then kills his enemy. Oh, this is excellent. And they really didn't want that because we're not allowed to have our culture.
Notice at no point in that description are you like, yeah, white man. No, the tale is about the strength of the character.
Yeah, of course. But they only see things through the racial lens. And then the best response to all of this, well, best, might have been China, who went full return to tradition by creating an AI that de-Netflixes, shall we say, a particular property. And I think they're looking to implement this on the full film, potentially. So
that'll work.
You know, people say that China has existed purely through stealing Western innovation, but this is an innovation I don't see the West putting forward anytime soon.
I love the idea that China's like, no, you must return to the West.
Yeah, like, I mean, China's showing us how it's really done. And but really, the little...
the CCP's like, return to tradition.
It's amazing.
That's really advanced as well.
I
That's
can't
true.
Believe they do. Oh, according to John, they've already done it to the full trailer. So, and they also say it only takes about 24 hours to do the full 2-hour movie.
Oh, it's
when
be
it's
great.
Out.
So that means all the pirated versions, like when you see them, it's going to be that one.
Like,
that's
oh, yeah.
How it's going to work as well.
This is going to be the most pirated film in history. But with The Little Mermaid, you're lucky if it's only a race swap that they pull and they don't just actually upend the entire moral of the story. Like, I saw this yesterday that I thought was very, very interesting. Is Possum Reviews, who does good work on Twitter. He posts just random reviews of films on Twitter. And he was talking about the Pinocchio live-action remake. Did you know that that was coming out?
No.
Neither did I. But apparently people have gone to see it because people have kids and they see a Pinocchio film and foolishly they think, oh, that will be...
for children.
Yes, this will be for children and be the exact same as what I remember it being when I was a kid watching the cartoon. But it's not. And it's not even just that they've, you know, I don't know if they've race-swapped characters or anything or the CGI is bad or, once again, the color grading is absolute trash. Why is Pinocchio just some brown sludge on the screen right there?
Also,
there's
like,
no contrast.
I can barely even see anything in that slide. It's not just me, right? Like, everything's so dark. It's like,
yeah,
I
don't get why
what's
it
going
is.
On. Anyway, I think you're right.
It maybe makes sense when Tim Burton did Dumbo, even though, why did Tim Burton do Dumbo? But you kind of expect a dark aesthetic from him, but every single one of them is doing this. And I imagine it might just be because they're really cheap. Probably just really cheap. But he says... throughout this, it's more than just all that, that they also do something really messed up storytelling-wise. In the original movie, Pinocchio is convinced by Honest John to skip school and join Stromboli's traveling show. This makes sense because Pinocchio is naive and has no moral compass yet. But in the remake, Jiminy Cricket successfully convinces him not to listen to Honest John, so Pinocchio goes to school and then gets kicked out because he's not a real boy. Then Honest John offers to take him to Stromboli again, and that's when he goes. And then, so what this means is instead of Pinocchio being naive and lacking moral guidance, you know, having character flaws that he should learn from, that children can take important messages from, it's now framed like he had no choice but to take his offer.
It was the institutional yep. Racismus of
it
the
was
school.
Society. It was society that victimized Pinocchio. Remember, kids, you've got nothing to learn in your life. You're already perfect. It's society around you that is what will cause you to fail. So the messaging is quite insidious because on a first viewing, a lot of people wouldn't pick up on that subtle change. But to a kid whose mind is very pliable, you're very vulnerable to this kind of thing, it's really insidious.
Also just the discussion that must have taken place at the writer's room. I'm like, well, we got the script. It's the old script, of course, so maybe a couple of changes. And someone's like, yeah, what if we make, you know, puppetism a thing in the school? What?
the teacher, they just really hate puppets for some reason.
You just like everyone else in the room like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, they're coming in, the puppets are stealing people's jobs. It's like, yeah, but I would say obviously race swapping and such is not good, but this is, as far as I'm concerned, much worse. Yeah, because this is the lessons that these people are taking from. But now let's get on to the football, because as we all remember, football is something that has been captured for a long time. And one of the reasons I think that this is one, incredibly naive captains like Gareth Southgate, who just unquestioningly goes along with the current narrative because, I mean, he's a footballer. Let's not give him too much credit in the old intellect department. He knows how to kick the ball from one side of the field to the other. Not disparaging any of the football fans watching this. I'm just not a football fan myself. So if I do get anything wrong with this, please correct me.
Also, I think everyone who likes football would agree.
Yeah, everyone who likes football agrees. These people are not Mensa candidates.
I can't remember who it is, but I remember one of them started setting off fireworks in his bathroom, thinking that would work. I can't remember. Someone will correct me and say who it is, but I just remember some
footballer doing that. Was it New Year's and he was celebrating?
Yeah. I think it was either his birthday or New Year's. So he set him off in the bathroom thinking, oh, well, yeah, if it blows up, I could just use a shower, right? It burnt down his house. It's like, you're an idiot.
Oh my God, what a moron! But yeah, so you've got the naive managers and then the actual businessmen at the top of like the UEFA League and such are probably being pushed by organizations like the World Economic Forum and such because they don't want any aspect of your, daily life to be non-political. They want you to be demoralized. They want it so that even if you're just on a Sunday night or a Friday night or something, sat around the TV watching the football with the lads or your family or something, that you can't escape the racial politics that are only designed to tell you that you're a bad person because of what people who might have shared a skin color or ethnicity did with you, share that with you, did, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The bad things. You're only allowed to feel the bad things. Not the good things, though. British Empire ending slavery, ignore. Throw that aside. You're only supposed to remember that they had slavery in the first place and you should feel bad about it.
And then ? Today.
Yes, that somehow connects to our situation today. So it's just another attempt to demoralize people. And people weren't happy with this because last year when they were doing the European Cup, they started taking the knee and people didn't respond too nicely to this. People were booing them. People were saying that this was outrageous. People were complaining that they didn't want their football politicized so much, which were all fair points, and to which Gareth Southgate said that he was pleading them to stop jeering his team and says that those booing aren't understanding the message. No, they are understanding the message.
Actually, get lost.
Yes. Actually much better than some naive idiot like you ever would understand the message, Gareth. So this, for a while, has made people very suspicious of sports leagues. You get the same sort of thing over in NFL. Colin Kaepernick was the guy who started off the taking the knee thing in the first place. But things might be shifting a little bit in the wake of the Queen's death, at least maybe temporarily, because you had people like this, Trevor Sinclair, a footballer, a former West Ham player, tweeting this out: racism was outlawed in England in the 60s, and it's been allowed to thrive, so why should black and brown people mourn? Hashtag Queen. Obviously, in the wake of the Queen's death, saying, why should we care? All you did was subjugate us, colonizer.
Now, I mentioned this back when we did the segment on it. I didn't realize. My dad has informed me. Trevor here, do you know anything about his run-ins with racism?
No.
He's actually a racial abuser.
Oh, really?
Like, he got convicted of racially abusing a police officer. It was a white police officer that he'd been pulled over by, and he was like, you honky, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, so really?
He got convicted. So it's actually him bragging. He's saying that in the 60s it was made illegal, and it's only been allowed to go up, which is thanks to me, Trevor Sinclair.
That's right. I'm just a simple racism merchant.
Yeah, so there you have that.
I also find just the idea that you can outlaw racism hilarious, as if you just say you're not allowed to do it anymore, and then it just vanishes. It's like it just poofs out of existence.
It's like when David Cameron made child poverty illegal.
Yeah, it's
and nonsense.
Yeah, it's like if I make the bad things illegal, then they're illegal. If I make being hungry illegal, no one's ever hungry again. It makes perfect sense. But yes, black and brown people, as far as I'm concerned, can mourn whatever and whoever they want. But most of them were actually quite grateful for the Queen's reign. And if you want to push revisionism, then you're lying. And the response was this from Talk Sport, actually, saying that Trevor Sinclair will not be on air while we carry out a thorough investigation into the circumstances and timing of his tweet.
Because he was busy also racially abusing police officers to evening.
Yes, he was also a pundit on Talk Sport. So they say, while we respect the right of Trevor Sinclair to express his opinion on his personal Twitter account, Talk Sport does not endorse this tweet. And to any criticism, all I can say is Talk Sport is a private company and they can do whatever they want.
I don't care anymore. I just not taking it from leftists.
Yeah, so he threw out an apology, an incredibly poor apology, saying, my tweet yesterday was ill-timed, at a time when the royal family and many around the world were grieving for the Queen. I apologise for any offence caused to those mourning the Queen, which is not a real apology. It's an, I'm sorry you feel that way.
You honky snow devils.
Yeah, sorry, I should have waited an extra 2 days or so to insult the Queen and those mourning her. So this is incredibly hollow, and he shows very clearly that he doesn't understand why people care so much about the Queen or why they're mourning her. But that's not the big news regarding football. The big news is that Jordan Peterson recently had a meet-up, a very friendly meet-up it seems, with Cristiano Ronaldo, of all people, who, being a non-football fan, even I've heard of Cristiano Ronaldo. I know he's one of the most popular footballers in the entire world, certainly one of the most successful and supposedly one of the most talented as well. And your face tells me that you're barely aware of what football is.
How did you guess?
So do you know who Ronaldo is?
I've heard of the name.
You've heard of the name?
Yep.
He plays...
No, that's better than usual.
I mean, I was going to say, actually, no, you've heard of Ronaldo. You hadn't heard of...
Peterson fella. Never heard of him.
And you hadn't heard of Eric Clapton. So hearing about Ronaldo is maybe important. Do you know who Elton John is?
Yeah, he's that gay guy who whines about AIDS all the time.
He was also a singer in the 70s, but yeah, the gay thing is what people mainly know him for nowadays. So yeah. I'm surprised, honestly. Get everyone at home, give Callum a round of applause.
So it's, what's this?
So it was just a picture. It was just that this Cristiano Ronaldo posted a picture, and Jordan Peterson responded, and it was very nice, and Ho's mad. Ho's very mad. Scroll down, and you can see the
Do we not even have any idea what the hell they spoke about?
Not really, no. But it's honestly, I think it's very positive that someone like Jordan Peterson, who does appeal to the average everyman, probably your typical footballer, is getting massive exposure through being associated now with someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, because Peterson pushes very positive messaging for young men, the idea that you can pull up your bootstraps, do good work, improve your life, appeal to your own sense of masculinity. And Ronaldo seems to be supporting that by publicly having his photo. And it's annoyed all of the right people, which is a good thing, because he's faced criticism after posting a picture alongside friend and controversial psychologist Jordan Peterson. Despite this controversy, Ronaldo posted an image on Instagram alongside Peterson with the caption, "Nice to see you, my friend. Hashtag see you soon." And Peterson replied to the post, which has been liked almost 6 million times in 24 hours, saying, "I've rarely met anyone who more clearly deserved what they had earned. Good to meet you." Wholesome, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
The post sparked some negative reactions, however, with one fan suggesting it tarnished Ronaldo's legacy, and with the second posting, "Why is anyone even slightly surprised that someone as entitled as Ronaldo thinks Peterson is great?" But the funny thing is, these people can't just let a single thing lie, but these were the only two that they managed to pull up. So that's a very positive thing as far as I'm concerned. The backlash seemed to not be very great, even though the Mirror made an entire article about it. Jordan Peterson's getting massive exposure through Cristiano Ronaldo. This can only be a good thing. And Ronaldo, in contrast to Sinclair, even posted his thoughts on the Queen, saying, "7 years of my career were playing in the Premier League, making this my 8th season living in England. Throughout these years, I've felt the everlasting love of the UK for its Queen and how important Her Majesty was and will forever be to the British people. Pay my respect to her memory, and I mourn this irreplaceable loss with the country that I've learned to call home. My thoughts and prayers are with the royal family." So that's a very classy response. Much nicer than anything that someone like Trevor Sinclair put out. But then there was other footballers as well who've made news recently, including a man called Lucas Moura, who has been criticised for airing right-wing views and comparing communism to Nazism. Quite accurately so, I must say, as well.
I like this guy too.
Yes, he's apparently in Tottenham, and he's been criticised as well, saying the... this article says the Brazilian presidential elections, because this guy is Brazilian, take place next month, and Jair Bolsonaro, that's how you pronounce his name, right?
I have no idea.
Jair Bolsonaro, aiming to secure his second term in office. The 67-year-old is deemed as right-wing and has expressed homophobic, sexist, racist, and anti-environmentalist views on a number of occasions. People can only vote for him once, so calm down, guys. Calm down with all this good publicity. And this guy, Lucas Moura, has publicly endorsed his support for this man, saying on a podcast, "I have no problem in giving my opinion on this. I am a right-wing conservative. I follow Christian and family principles. I don't see a perfect presidential candidate, but I can't deny that Bolsonaro is the closest to what I believe. Lula supports everything I am against. His opponent, left-wing ideology, socialism, and even communism, which is nothing but Nazism. Supporting Lula is almost impossible." The 28-year-old doubled down on his comments on Twitter, saying, "Communism is the most advanced stage of socialism, and for me, communism and Nazism are two aberrations. Both have killed millions of people and are indefensible regimes. But if you want to counter that, prove it to me here with a successful example of communism." Rumours say he is still waiting. So, yeah, I think it's very positive that these footballers are coming out, both in terms of associating themselves with relatively based people, or just out and out coming out as, yes, I'm right-wing, yes, I'm a conservative, deal with it. Because the more we have public figures espousing these sorts of opinions, the more acceptable they can come in day-to-day conversation, and maybe more and more people can come over to our side when they actually hear the arguments made rather than the straw men that the media obviously portrays them as. So as far as I'm concerned, the leagues may be captured at an elite level, but hopefully if enough footballers come out to non-woke sides, we can change something. We've got enough Marcus Rashfords. We need more of this guy.
I think that's a very good point. I'm actually looking forward to it. Otherwise, we shall move to left free speech. Won't somebody please think of the left wing's free speech?
No.
The rallying cry of the leftists in response to some people being arrested whilst the funeral taking place for Her Majesty the Queen. I don't care either.
I no longer respect the free speech of people actively trying to destroy me, my culture, and any children I end up having.
It's not very useful, that's for sure. However, I just find it hilarious how the left is completely abandoning the free speech principle and saying, this is a right-wing thing. Come on, right-wingers, why won't you protect it? It's like... You are actually saying you cannot be trusted or capable of protecting it yourself.
Oh, we already...
Fantastic. I'm glad for the admission.
We already knew this. I think in regards to the Sam Harris thing from the other week, I saw the Distributist posted a video which had a perfect name, which was The Loud Part Out Quiet, because they've basically been screaming it in our faces that that's how they operate for years now, and it's only just now that they're saying it that it's actually... No, it's not the quiet part out loud, it's the loud part out quiet.
But anyway, just a reference first, so if you'd like to support us, you can go over to thelotusseers.com and do check out this video from Carl's most recent one, being the word in the Shire speech he gave at the Witten, which explains how the English community can defend its own continuation, which of course includes the free speech principle as the English-speaking tradition being the best one in regards to actual defense of free speech, instead of the French definition of, I will defend it until it is illegal. Good job. Good job, Frenchie. Not even kidding. But rights of man. Like, go check it out from the French Revolution. It's hilarious how pathetic their defense of free speech is. Otherwise, we should get into the news. So we have the news here, of course, that His Majesty King Charles III has been proclaimed the new monarch in all of the British territories, including the British Antarctic Territory. I decided to pick as the image for this one, if you can get the image up, just because that's hilarious. I love the British Antarctic Territory's flag as well. It has a penguin on it. People didn't know. Fantastic.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, wait, where's the penguin? I don't see the penguin.
Oh, you've got to go to the Wikipedia entry for it. This is just the British flag.
Oh, okay.
There's a little penguin on the... It's a white background as well. I mean,
if anything, does this not show the beautiful unity of the English peoples, that you can be halfway across the world in the Arctic and still be able to have some nice little ceremony like this?
Yeah. If you click off this, actually, and scroll up, because this is just in the long line of overseas territories who are all taking part in this proclamation. And you can just see some of the images. I mean, we have there, so you, what have we got? Just reading. You've got Canada, Turks and Caicos, Falkland Islands, South Georgia as well. It's just beautiful imagery. The Bahamas, Montserrat, British Virgin Islands. I can't believe there's actually anything left on Montserrat after the volcano, but whatever.
I mean, that's just wonderful, because that lets me know, at least if I go to any of these places, whatever differences there is something shared between us.
Yeah, and I did see Jordan Peterson actually saying that, well, what would the response be to this? And he pondered, well, maybe everywhere in the Commonwealth will recognise we had a beautiful thing, and now that we've lost it, I mean, we need to rebuild it and maybe value it a lot more than we did. Because
yes,
we notice valuing when it's gone. And that does actually seem to be taking place, but this isn't about that. We'll move on further, though, to the next link here, being that the palace has made a demand. Please stop bringing Paddington Bears and marmalade sandwiches to the funeral, because we have too many, which is hilarious.
We are reaching a shortage of marmalade sandwiches across the country. Please keep them for yourselves.
It's so British. I didn't put this out. I wonder if we could play it, actually. Just, it is so hilarious as the newsreader is like, please stop bringing them.
And at 7:52 here on BBC Breakfast, I just want to bring you a little bit of advice that's come from the Royal Parks this morning. They are suggesting that there are enough Paddingtons and marmalade sandwiches in the parks at the moment. So please feel free to bring flowers, but maybe don't bring any more Paddingtons or marmalade sandwiches for now.
So I'll pause that there.
And at 7
That's so sweet.
And obviously they're suggesting it as well.
Like, they're suggesting it, and only for now. We might need some more marmalade sandwiches later.
Anyway, but there's the tone and the tenor of the British realms and how we are reacting. However, there is, of course, another aspect to all of this. Because if you go to the next one here, we can see there are, of course, Republicans doing Republican things, which is they'll turn up with their signs.
Is Ash Sarkar a Republican?
Oh, 100%. Heiser. Definitely is.
I just see her as a commie. I see a Republican, a communist, and communism as slightly separate things.
Commies are Republicans until they're in charge. But you can see she's responding to a story in which a woman has been arrested after holding an abolish monarchy sign in Edinburgh. And she wasn't the only one. There are a fair few of the police acting, upholding the law as it is written, which is that being offensive is an offence in the UK. And with regards to the monarchy, they've been arresting people holding up signs, of course, as she's saying here. And her response is, "I'm sure the free speech defenders at GB News will be all over this any second. As if this is any kind of dunk. As if this is any kind of criticism of GB News or the Free Speech Brigade."
What does Ash do when they do a little segment on it and go, "Actually, that's really stupid, we shouldn't be arresting this woman"?
Oh, nothing, because it's the norm. It is entirely the norm that the free speech defenders of this country do as they always do, which is, "Oh, I don't disagree with it, it's stupid, but they shouldn't be arrested for it. However, it is the law and I'm not an MP, I have no power." Because that is all you can do. And then her sitting there saying this, though, it is hilarious how she phrases herself out of the discussion. The left is not here to get over this any second now. They are incapable. Well, they are not even willing to do such a thing.
The only reason that she's annoyed that this happened is because she agrees with the sentiment that this woman was putting forward.
Sure.
It's nothing to do with principles of speech.
That hypocrisy is simple and
yeah,
there.
It's obvious.
But it's more the point that she is saying, like, the right wing, "Guys, the free speech principle is under attack. Go and defend it. Because I can't." It's like, no, you can't. You're utterly useless in this regard. You actively attack it on a daily basis.
I think that's actually quite an interesting way of looking at it. Because, yeah, some of these people do see the right as somewhat of a necessary evil so that they can defend principles when they need defending that these people don't actually believe in.
No, they have no rock to stand on. And instead, they desperately need the right to pull them out of the water and turn up like this, as she does, and be like, "Come and defend this woman." I was like, yeah, it's the normal thing to do.
But then at the same time, they do only ever bring it up when it's to defend the free speech of people they already agree with.
Otherwise, they wouldn't care. If you go to the next one here, you can see there are more instances of this. This is some guy who was shouting at Prince, I think it's Andrew, shouting that he's a nonce or something. And of course, the people there, were like, "This is a funeral, bro. What the hell are you doing?" And there's that discussion to be had, of course.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in that crowd disagrees. It's just a bit disrespectful.
Yeah, it's not convicted, so it's just they do what you woe. But he got taken away. The police arrested him for that. And as you can see in the next one here, there is he is one of few, to say the least. Of course, this being a funeral, and even in Scotland, which is supposedly the most Republican area of the kingdom, we have the Scots out in force to pay the respects. But if you go to the next link here, we have Leo Kursk, of course, responding. He's like, "Oh, well, you got me, Ash. I normally support free speech, but not when it's a woman holding up signs."
Those are the really unusual. Those are the exceptions that we all have to hold ourselves by. If I remember the US Constitution correctly, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law excepting those of women holding signs.
Yeah. Shall not infringe free speech except of women.
Based.
But there you have it. It's just like, of course, she's referencing the GB crew. So, of course, Leo Kirsch, being part of the GB crew, turns up and is like, "Well, fair enough. I'm leaving. Don't know what I'm going to do." We have Nick Dixon as well, a good friend of the show, who's just responded with a strange and inaccurate caricature of GB. "Highly doubt anyone there thinks this person should have been arrested. The channel is basically all libs," which
is true.
It's a routine comment Nick has. "In fact, I might have to start supporting treason laws just to provide some balance." So Nick will presumably be on as we speak, demanding the hanging of anyone who's holding up those signs.
Nick's getting his royal gown ready.
Yeah. And if you go to the next link, we can, of course, see that the Free Speech Union jumped in, as is entirely the norm. Entirely expected and entirely
as is the only point of their existence.
But hang on, it's not that they are some rightist organization that is like, you know, they'll only defend the right and Ash has some kind of point of like they sometimes don't. This is so normal, it's not a story that their right turns up and does their job.
I mean, the funny thing is the left is always quite bad for the most part at pointing out right-wing hypocrisy. The right's amazing at pointing out left-wing hypocrisy. It's not about hypocrisy. They just don't care.
It's not about hypocrisy in the slightest. That's all water under the bridge. Like, this is the norm for them, right? The point is that she's like, look, the right-wingers have to come in and defend us. Just the fact that she cannot. She knows the left cannot. She knows that she herself cannot. There is no principle in which they can stand. Of course, the Free Speech Union writing that whatever your views on monarchy, the protester also has the rights to hers. This is the norm. And if we go to the next link, however, Count Dankula is someone who is just enjoying himself immensely in regards to all of this. Of course, you have his new name as Dan McCulloch.
McCulloch?
Duke of Cumberland. OBE.
Cumbernauld.
Yeah, whatever.
Perhaps having lived closer to Scotland for you, I'm able to translate this.
It's all fake anyway.
Dan McCulloch, Duke of Cumbernauld.
So here's fake.
You don't know about the fantastic region of Cumbernauld?
No, funnily enough.
You've never had a Cumbernauld sausage?
No. This is him, of course, in his persona as a member of the royal family, 35th in line now, I believe. And he says, in response to some woman being arrested, excellent news. Speech has consequences, as the rabble like to say. It's just perfectly reasonable from him, frankly. Someone who has gone to the court system and been stolen of his money by Her Majesty's justice system. So can't blame him for basically just being like, told you, don't care. Sink. Literally just drown. Like, you asked for this, enjoy it. Here's the next one here. We can see the real lesson, of course, from him being that it appears very many leftists are getting sacked or arrested under offence laws for things they are protesting / saying about the royal family. Such a shame. No one was warning them about that for years. Silly peasants. And that's the point. Just like this all relied on rightist principles. You are now saying that out loud, as you say, the quiet part, which is just like, oh, please protect us, because you don't have them. And without the rightists, you wouldn't have any rights. You know you wouldn't. You don't believe in them. So there you have that. Here's the next one. Of course, the leftists are still out there censoring everything they can in regards to criticism of their own speech. They don't value free speech in the slightest. This is just on a minute level, of course, but we'll take Dr. Shola, who is a leftist and, of course, started just deleting responses to her own posts because she couldn't take the criticism. Her saying that, of course, the royal family is slavery and racism, blah, 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 blah. So someone responded, you're a member of the Nigerian royal family, a family directly involved in the sale of black slaves.
Oof.
I mean, the family involved in the sale of black slaves. You and the Beninians, so you too. Of course, she hid everything, mentioning that she is a member of the royal family and also the only one making money off black slaves, because they were the ones selling their own daughters. The whites, so the Portuguese and the British, just human traffickers. Not actually capturing people and selling them. But again, have to censor that. Go to Owen Jones, though. Blew it out of the park with this point, which is that, as you can see, Owen Jones, actually, no, I am going to post this. The Daily Mail et al. Are going to scour the timelines of everyone and anyone they can construe as left-wing, is defined by themselves, for content they can outrage their readers with. Which I love. Again, another quiet bit. I mean, what did you say earlier? How did you phrase it? Because it is just perfect.
The loud part out quiet?
Yeah.
Once again, credit to the distributist for that one.
But it's just like, yes, the left-wing movement in every Anglo country at this point is a content creator. I mean, literally, like, you just have to show people what the left are believing, unironically, and that is content. Because it is true. You can't do that with right-wing people. You can't show them, like, oh, look, the right believes in, like, civil liberties and stuff. How crazy is that? Wait, no, pay attention. Because people just won't care. Why would they? But whatever the left unironically believe today is always going to be mad. The next statement being, if you are on the receiving end of this, you cannot imagine what will hit you. Yeah. If you write out, I hope that Her Majesty's death is brutal and blah, blah, blah. So, funnily enough, the kingdom doesn't take too kindly to that. You will be crucified. You could lose your job, be plastered across the internet forever, and you could be subjected to very extreme threats of violence and death. And there might be people in the country who try to act on that.
Don't make yourself... So he's in so many words, he's saying, stop being mental on Twitter, guys. Just give it a week.
No, he's saying that, oh no, we're being treated as we've always treated right-wingers. We denounce them as racist. Remember, the left-wing definition of racist is you don't believe that everyone is the same. And people like Romy Tomlinson and everyone else, they might end up losing their jobs, plastered across the internet and all the media forever, subjected to very extreme threats of violence and death. And there's a lot of people in this country who might carry those out. And that's why you're promoting it, endlessly. Anyone who you decide has to be cancelled and destroyed, you endlessly hope that they are killed. by those in this country who will do it.
Oh, the cry bullying is so blatant.
Yeah, I love it. It's just like, racists don't have rights, but Republicans do, don't they, guys? Says Owen. I was like, yeah, no one has any rights. It's the United Kingdom. No one has any rights for years. Goes the next link here. We can see the point that he's whining again is like the lady who was arrested in Scotland. Oh my God, the Tories did this. No, they didn't. As you can see, Samantha posting here, the Scottish protester that Owen Jones is referencing was arrested under Section 38 of the Criminal Justice and Licensing Scotland Act 2010, which was introduced by the SNP. There you have it. I mean, the most leftist party in this country.
Am I supposed to be surprised?
No.
Should I put on my surprise face anyway?
No.
No, that's all right then.
I don't think there's any need. I love it. I love how they're like, oh my God, all those laws we passed criminalising offence applies to us? Yeah. Yes.
No, this sword has two edges. No.
If only there was some kind of count, you know, some kind of royalty like Count Dankula, who might have been warning about exactly this. Ridiculous.
No, he went to the European court and they said rights don't exist.
Yeah, well, we just had to believe it because the left agreed with the European court.
Mm.
The next link here, of course, being regards to the individual who decided to cry out about the fact they wanted a violent death for Her Majesty. So the professor here slams the Queen again by saying she is part of the cult of white womanhood and her woke students are backing her. Now, I know Owen will see this. Just look at the Daily Mail. They went looking for outrage bait and they produced it. Like, no, they didn't. They went looking at the left and went, yeah, here's the left. And everyone went, don't touch me. Like, don't want to be anywhere near that. But again, just the statement there. I mean, the statement that Her Majesty is the cult of white womanhood. The thing you could ask is, does that affect her qualifications as a professor of applied linguistics? I mean, yes. I mean, she's clearly insane. And also, why are her students backing her?
Well, yeah, that's... I wouldn't want her teaching my kids.
No.
Because I feel like she's not just going on about linguistics.
No, she's clearly indoctrinating these kids. Why else would they back statements like this? Because they have been taught this crap. There's no criminal element needed, of course. Except there is, because if you were actually upholding the law, as written, 100%, this is grossly offensive according to Section 127 of the Communication Act. However, meanwhile, in actual rightist land, I love how the left are interacting with the law ever so slightly. They're like, it's actually legal to make things that are offensive.
Wait, they're just reading through the laws going, bloody hell, have you seen all this?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's only started to be applied to them thanks to this circumstance. They're suddenly like, oh my God, the law's actually against us in some cases. It's against everyone. We're all getting screwed. And whereas the right, it's just another day in fairyland. We have Voice of Wales here with a video. This is a member of Voice of Wales getting a cold call by the police, telling him that he is going to be jailed if he keeps up a post because he decided to call some illegal aliens undocumented aliens. Because he used the phrase undocumented aliens, that is grossly offensive and therefore is an offence. And if someone complains, then he'd be in trouble. No one had complained.
I would imagine not.
The police just did this.
The police is just preemptively going full minority report, and when the crime is eventually logged, you might want to know.
When my colleague hits the complaint button, we're going to come and arrest you. Just let you know. Turn it off. Let's play this.
Concern was that somebody will take offence to it. So the reason why police were contacting you, or to give you the speak to, was to basically say, look, heads up, take that video down. If someone sees it, that is of ethnic minority, or someone takes offence to it, there is going to be offences there against you for making that video, because obviously hate crime is, if someone perceives that to be something, and if someone takes offence to it, you could be liable for offence.
Right.
So the sort of, look, heads up, I'm halfway through watching that video now, you're going to have to take that down. All I'm saying is that video is, it's a bit out there, it's a bit, yeah, I wouldn't be posting that video if I didn't. I wouldn't be surprised at all if someone was to take offence to that.
People are going to take offence to whatever, but at the end of the day, offence is projective. So, you know, I get offended, you know, people get offended over everything. So it's not down to me. I'm not going to remove the video because I'm a journalist. That's my job.
It's a very good answer.
Yep.
It's actually my job, bro. Also, I love how he says in there that you need to take down the video in case an ethnic minority sees it. Or anyone. Right, so you singled out ethnic minorities as the ones who are going to be offended by him saying undocumented alien. It's actually not even the right term. It's actually a quite PC term, saying undocumented. It doesn't matter if they got documents or not. They're still an illegal alien entering this country. And the Voice of Wales...
Watch out, Callum, you're going to get a call for that one.
go for it. I'm up for the fight. We go to the next one here. We have Voice of Wales, who have the full story, of course, as being there, guys. And they write in here, last night, South Wales police visited James's parents' house looking for him. Why? The hell's wrong with you?
That's quite distressing.
James, who doesn't live at this address, then rang 101, and he was told that one of his videos covering secret migrant hotels in Cardiff, he referred to the illegal immigrants as undocumented aliens. In fact, they were so concerned by the use of those words, undocumented aliens, they chose to prioritise this online incident and diverted uniformed officers from their other duties on a busy Saturday night to take action, to visit the house, to scare him in person. Just luckily he wasn't there. Instead, he was out and about. And they sent two officers to the house for that. No one had complained. Zero people were offended. No one could be offended. It's a retarded thing to be offended at.
Even the incredibly low minimum threshold of an offence being committed is not passed here.
One complaint hadn't even been met. Zero complaints had been met.
So the police are, like, unironically going minority report here. Very interesting.
And this is yet another day for the right. I mean, they even write in here just another day of, like, you know, police harassment, because Voice of Wales are just used to this. In fact, we can see the video in question, in case you're wondering if he was actually outside screaming the N-word or something. No, funnily enough, it's nothing. It's literally just him talking to the hotel manager. I suppose we'll play this.
Yeah, anything else?
Yeah, one more thing. So you said they're refugees. What country are they from?
Yes, from different countries.
Pardon?
It's from different countries.
Different countries.
So it's like France, it's Italy.
Italy?
Italy. Refugees from Italy.
That's mad.
What language staff do you have? What language do they speak?
So, Italy, Ukraine, South Africa, Albania, which isn't even at war like Italy.
It's good bands. So it's very sad what's happening in Italy and the war over there. But there you have it, just police harassment endlessly. And in this case, because he exposed immigration failures. Yet another day for the right, whereas the left are like, oh my God, turns out we're actually on the wrong side of the law. Yeah, get used to it. Although there is the funniest question of free speech in regards to Her Majesty the Queen's death, happening in Saudi Arabia, of all places. I don't know if you've read this story.
No, I haven't, actually.
Really funny. Saudi Arabia, man arrested after Mecca pilgrimage for the Queen. The man, a Yemeni national, published a video clip of himself on social media on Monday at the Grand Mosque in Mecca, Islam's holiest site, where non-Muslims are forbidden, because Saudi Arabia is a very tolerant and diverse country. In the clip, he held up a banner saying, "Umrah for the soul of Queen Elizabeth II, we ask God to accept her in heaven and amongst the righteous." He was arrested, legal measures were taken against him, and he was referred to the public prosecution for this.
Oh, what?
Because
that was quite a sweet sentiment.
You're allowed to do this sort of thing for another Muslim, even a dead Muslim, of course.
But obviously not to anyone outside of that.
For a non-Muslim, that's obviously a no-no.
Not only a non-Muslim, the head of the English church.
Yeah, so he got in big trouble for that. Of course, no one's ever going to care, because Saudi Arabia do what they like, which is their problem. I suppose we'll end this off just with something that's not leftist, because I hate leftists. Just on a lighter note, just the news has come. If you'd like to go and visit the Queen when she's lying in state before her funeral, the issue guidance has been published. The Palace of Westminster opens for the public at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 14th of September, and will be open 24 hours a day until it closes at 6:30 a.m. on Monday, at which point the funeral will be taking place. So expect incredibly long queues, and also there's a big list of prohibited items, etc.
Of course.
But the last thing, just so we can end on some imperial glory, is let's check out the people who miss us the most, Hong Kong. And this is just a video of someone walking along the queue to the, I think we leave it to the British consulate, showing off how many people have come to lay flowers for Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh.
And it goes on and on and on. Eventually, she does actually post that there was some official who had to stand at the end of the queue, poor bugger, with a sign just saying, "Queue is closed."
Oh my God, that's your day.
Yeah, and he had to stand there just so no one joined the queue, so till it disappeared.
That is quite hopeful and quite fulfilling to see that.
Yeah, and this is the appreciation for people who have to deal with not only without Her Majesty, but without any of the British world being able to save them from what's coming. Suppose we should go to the video comments.
"Hey Callum, I'm sorry you didn't quite like my value choices in Stellaris. The options are limited because it's a game which only allows you to do so much, so I'm always going to have to make compromises, but here's why I did what I did. I chose spiritualist because the Lotus Eaters hate abject materialism and seek a deeper meaning in things. I chose pacifist because we prefer words over fists, unless they start it first, unlike those damn commies we hate so much. And I chose egalitarianism because we believe in meritocracy and liberty over the alternative, which in-game is authoritarianism. Tell me what you believe accurately represents the Lotus Eaters, and I'll make the appropriate changes.
Was it egalitarian? I thought it was, whatever. Anyway, sorry if I misread that. But no, I can see your reasoning, actually. So no, no. All right, fair enough, fair enough. Well, you know which one I wanted, but never mind. No, it's fine, it's fine. Happy to work with you.
I have no idea any of that stuff. What was it you really wanted?
No, he set up a Stellaris game. Stellaris, where you make your own race, and then you can have their own values and stuff. So you can run into, like, a race of mushroom people who are, like, hyper-pacifists, who will just form, like, big alliances, so they never have to go to war. They're the worst people on the planet, the galaxy.
What's wrong with the mushrooms, man?
Oh, God, I can't stand pacifists. I've got my big alliance. Just fight me, loser.
What, you want to avoid war with peace treaties? Oh, what a little baby.
Yeah, basically.
Is that what you're saying?
Which is why you go in and enforce them to become a vassal.
Then they're just, what, fodder?
No, Stellaris is pretty extreme. You can repopulate.
Oh, my God. How many digital genocides have you committed, Callum?
Next video comment, please.
Regarding your red pill segment and people not actually being in control, I think that a avenue of research that you would benefit from is looking into solar flares, and specifically the Carrington event. We're probably due for another one soon, and it has the potential to completely wipe our civilization off the map in a matter of hours.
Damn.
No. Well, I've never really looked into solar flares, so Carrington.
I'm not familiar, so I guess we'll have to research on that.
I will see if thank I can find guest. Anything, but thank you.
Get the next one.
Watching GB News coverage in the days after the passing of Her Majesty, I listened to a commentator marvelling at seeing King Charles sign his name Charles R. Of course, Her Majesty used to be Elizabeth R. Regina Rex. Which then got me thinking, rather irreverently, about wokest nonsense. Have they missed a trick in questioning the assumption that dinosaurs were male-dominated, and that Tyrannosaurus Rex should in fact be Tyrannosaurus Regina? Would that capture the tyrannical power of modern intersectionality?
Please don't give them ideas, to say the least.
Well, lucky you're on our side, Alex.
No, they've already got those ideas, he's noticing. I don't want to live in this world anymore. Let's go to the next one. Hopefully it's better. Makes me feel better.
Eric DeJuli's comic Isom number 1 is still up for pre-order for another 2 weeks, so go ahead and get it. He has the rule of 51%, saying that if you spend 51% of your money on non-woke things, you can fight back against it, 49%, whatever. If you do this, Disney would have lost $11 billion in 2021. This is the same reason that I support the Lotus Eaters at the gold tier level. So everyone, put your money where your mouth is.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And yes, if you are interested, go check out Isom number 1 from Young Ripper, Eric July. Always go out in there and support people trying to build a non-woke culture.
I do love the idea that basically all online activists have to have some kind of zakat they have to pay just to their own cause.
You kind of do. That's the problem, is that you do.
Yeah. Well, it does work. I mean, there's a reason that Muslims have that kind of power.
Yeah.
Just they pay the zakat. Next one.
Yes! Finally some good news for Sweden. Anti-immigration, hyper-conservative Swedish Democrats crushed it. And already that's in effect, because all the other parties now have to change their tune to be more in line with the Swedish Democrats. They are scared, which is fantastic. Of course, could always have been better, but Sweden is kind of a silly woke country. And Callum, that offer about fish and chips, one day I'm going to take you up on it. Be warned.
Yeah, happy to. I know some good fish and chip places.
Wait, did we find out what was in that weird fish and chip ice cream with the strange-looking turd-like fish?
I feel like we've dunked on our fish and chips enough.
No, was, I'm curious,
it,
though.
It,
if it
was tartar sauce.
It was tartar sauce, okay.
An awful lot of it. Which,
gross.
Yeah.
But well, other than that, good news, Sophie.
Yes, failure, actually, for once, which is
yes.
You know, Sweden Democrats doing a good job. I can't wait to see what they do in government, because they're just going to have fun. I did see on the...
I want to see more weeby memes come from the highest offices in the land.
I did see one link. I couldn't verify if it was correct, but it's also just really funny, which is that the Sweden Democrats official like party after the polls are closed, there was some guy doing a live stream and some lady comes up and she's wasted. I don't know if she's a member of the party or just some woman who's there. And she just starts rambling about stuff. I can't understand her. And then in the middle, she just goes like, Hell Sega or whatever, which is like the Swedish version of Sieg Heil.
Oh, no.
And it's just like, I have no idea what the context is.
I hope that's a joke.
Yeah. It's funny. But go to the next video.
The latest Thor movie, an absolute show, has a lesbian black king walking around in a basket jersey, reigning over a new Asgard, which consists of maybe one third Norwegian-looking kids, and the rest is Yukamukamurus. And everybody can be Thor, because that's not like a singular male god in a Norrön mythology. Yay, diversity. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I refused to watch the latest Thor. After I watched the most recent Doctor Strange and did a review on that, and then watched Mauler's 6-hour review on it, I just refused to watch the new Thor. And you are right, and that's what I was pointing out earlier with how that's why people were really annoyed at the Northmen, because it is a story which is trying to pay respect to the old Nordic folktales, the sagas, and to the kinds of characters that were in those stories who were just reflective of the warrior culture that they had. And people were furious at it, because there were no brown people in the movie. There were no, even though there was actually ethnic diversity, because there was Scandinavians and Irish people, and everyone was dunking on the Irish
people.
Yeah, so
there's plenty of brown people. What are they talking about?
Yeah, basically, I mean, Irish aren't white. What are you on about?
I'm not being ironic.
No, I know. but there's even like, you know, it shows disputes between the different religions of the time. It's trying to portray the time period it's set in relatively accurately with this like mystical layer on top. And they were furious. They were furious because there was no sassy black woman to look straight into the camera and say, white people bear. Mm-hmm.
I think they would actually do that if you could get it organized.
They absolutely would, but that's why they were pissed off, because it didn't have that in it.
Otherwise, we shall get to the written comments on the site. So, Jordan Turner says, Callum couldn't tell you Freddie Mercury from Bob Dylan, but if you asked him to, he could probably name every single member of the Red Army Choir, past and present, and likely future.
Do it.
Well, there's a very sad incident, actually, with the Red Army Choir, where like all but one of them got on a plane, and the plane crashed.
Oh, no.
They all died.
Can you name all the ones that died?
No.
Oh.
But it's just like, you know, it's... Yeah, they're all commies, but still, it's just like, oh, God, could you imagine being the one guy who survived? Like, you got to team up with this new choir... I work with them and be like the flute guy or whatever.
And then the next time you get on a plane together, you're just like holding on for dear life to the chairs.
Soviet planes never crash. Don't worry about it. Oh. Do you remember that? Actually, it is in The Death of Stalin, with the whole hockey team dying that Stalin's son was in charge of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that crash killed them all. Never crash. Don't worry about it. So, Sweden going base, the General Hyping says... I've had the smug pleasure of watching my very left-leaning Swedish friend return home each year to Sweden, only to come back slightly more based, year by year. Having experienced the slow denigration and vilification of my country for the benefit of others, year by year, as she put it. Andrew Narok says, how long before we see headlines revising Sweden from being a socialist paradise to being a national socialist paradise?
That's a good point.
They're never going to do paradise, are they? They're going to treat them like Poland. I mean, this is actually quite funny, because you had this criticism of Poland from, I'm going to say, the you know, the legacy media, but also all the new age leftist stuff that controls our world in the new media space, in which they were telling you, I mean, you must remember the clips from like Vox, where they were like, oh my God, Poland is being taken over by neo-Nazis in government. They've got these guys who are crazy.
Listen, Vox have clips of that for literally every country, so...
Sure, but there was a big rush to try and take down Poland and demonise the new Polish...
Well, yeah, this is from around the time that all those pictures started coming out of the base Polish people just holding the flags that were like, no to communism and Nazism.
Yeah, and then very recently, all of that disappeared, thanks to Ukraine. Which is handy.
All of a sudden, we need to look out for our Eastern European brethren.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one way of dealing with it, but with the Swedes, it's not going to be a paradise to them. Perhaps tossing claims about how much Sweden was supporting the actual Nazis in World War II, if they care to take any attempts at historical claims rather than just emotional ones. Yeah, I've always found that criticism really crap as well. It's like, would you like to be invaded and occupied by the Nazis? Because that was the option. Like, so we have Nazis in Norway, Nazis in Germany, Nazis in Denmark, Nazis in Finland.
This is seeming like something of a raw deal for...
But it's just Sweden in the middle, because it's not like the Swiss, where they're just, you know, counting the money. Like, the Swedish were just in the middle, like, oh God, please leave us alone. Anyway, Edward of Woodstock says, UK, our queen has sadly passed away. This warrants a plain black background, white lettering, and a somber one. Sweden. Yeah, right-wing party just got elected. This warrants the same. Maureen Peters says, I swear Hollywood have something against gingers with the amount of aggressive race swapping I have seen recently.
Oh, that's about my segment. But yes, they do. Every single time they race swap a character and make it black, it's always a white ginger girl that they make into a black sassy woman.
Suddenly for the race swapping. I'm joking, I love the Irish. Anyway, Sophie Lev Peterson says she's basically saying her ancestors fought hard for Sweden and this old culture, and she wants her child to grow up in Sweden her ancestors fought for.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I do wonder, I mean, like, the Swedish Danish language split isn't seeming to be much. I wonder how much it is just easy to understand the other one. Being a Dane, I mean, let us know. Otherwise, Jordan Turner says, speaking of fascists, as far as I'm aware, an actual neo-fascist party is leading the polls in Italy. Yes, they are. But because of how overused that term is, I can't be sure that actually fascists, even when the party's genealogy comes from Mussolini. Leftists overusing the term fascism has caused people to be unaware of fascism, but rather caused everyone, not the leftists, just ignore the term now. Yeah, I was wondering about whether or not to mention that. So, folks listening, in 2 weeks, I think it is, the Italians are going to have their election. Brothers of Italy are currently leading. They are the remnants, or at least they contain the remnants of Mussolini's party.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did a merge with them to make Brothers of Italy. There are two things that make me worried about them. Number one is that. It's like you did actually take on all their activists. Mm-hmm. Don't know how well that's going. And also number two, they did a bunch of Facebook advertisements. They didn't realize that if you tag in the Facebook advertisement, you know, show this to people who are interested in X.
Oh, okay.
So they typed in interested in fascism. That was publicly viewable, so a load of people got adverts, and like, the reason you're getting this advert is because...
You are interested in fascism.
Brothers of Italy wanted to find people who are interested in fascism, and it's like, aha. Okay.
That's pretty funny, but if that shows up on your Facebook feed, what does that say about you?
There's that too.
Nah. I don't really... I mean, Italy, who really cares that much about Italy? I mean, no Italians, but...
I mean, it is where fascism came from, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, as long as they don't go at trying to invade anyone, then I don't really care that much.
It is the 20s again, and the Italians are having economic problems and looking for...
listen. History never repeats itself.
Yeah. Anyway.
Shush you.
Did you know Benito Mussolini's granddaughter is actually in the EU Parliament? She's there as a conservative, not a fascist. But
I would I would hope that she wasn't some, like, insufferable leftist.
Yeah, that would actually fit more. But anyway.
Henry Ashman says, what hyper-meritocratic elite-level male athletes are quite based on anti-meritocratic woke agenda? Imagine my shock. Ronaldo in particular is the epitome of the Petersonian clean your room Chad. The era of dominance between him and Messi was between the two extremes of work ethic versus pure skill. Ronaldo as a youngster was talented but mercurial and wasteful, but his meteoric rise was due to his fitness commitment and focusing on end product. He once scored a header where he jumped 2.93 metres up in the air to meet the ball. His hang time is ridiculous. I think I might have actually seen that clip back in the day. And yeah, that was one of the things that, even as a non-football fan, you knew who Cristiano Ronaldo was, at least I did when I was growing up, and you knew that he was an incredibly impressive athlete. I had no idea that it was entirely because of his work ethic. Obviously, you expect a good work ethic for these sorts of elite athletes, but no, that's very impressive. Shadow in the Stars, a black mermaid makes no sense from an evolutionary perspective. There's not much sunlight under the sea. All that melanin will cause low vitamin D. That's a good point. Even on just a purely logical, biological level, I don't know, Disney, not looking great. General Hai Ping, big business have watched black people use accusations of racism as a way to dodge criticism for years. They've just cottoned on and joined in the fad. That's certainly part of it. Based Ape, you know what? Screw it. Let them have the Little Mermaid. Let them have their rings of power. In exchange, we want Black Panther. It's a hostage situation now. With totally no explanation whatsoever, the next Black Panther will just be a white guy. Ryan Gosling? Perhaps? Just a suggestion. Like a milky-skinned ginger Irish... Oh, never mind. Ginger Irishman that would make no sense at all why they'd be randomly in the deserts of Wakanda. It needs to make absolutely no sense too. So, Callum, we're putting you forward as the next Black Panther.
No, I want to start on the George Floyd movie, actually.
Oh, right.
I gotta be shorter than George Floyd as well.
That's not hard. He was massive. Like, his father is black and his mother is Chinese, and he's Conor McGregor. And when they start complaining, just act like you have no idea why they're upset about us messing up with their movies. Yeah, that all sounds like a fantastic idea. I like the idea of new Black Panther, Conor McGregor. Razcheck was
actually
right.
Now that I think about it, if you did do a movie about George Floyd, changed all the black characters in the movie to be white people, and all the white characters to be black, it would look hilarious. Because you'd have all these white actors talking about how our people have been oppressed and you killed him because if he was our skin tone.
We was Kang.
But it would look ridiculous on the face of it, because you would have that political stuff taken out. And you would see, well, what's the reality? Well, he was on drugs and he died.
Well, yeah. You know, there was a similar thing. The two guys who, behind Game of Thrones, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, for a while were playing around with an idea for a show called Confederate, which was a revisionist fictional history of the Civil War, where it was blacks enslaving whites. Somehow they managed to get this through the door at HBO, but as you would imagine, it never went ahead. Damn. Because that would have been amazing to see made.
I'm actually thinking, genuinely, if they did a Netflix like race swap of a George Floyd movie, I think the George Floyd narrative of he was killed by racism would die, because it would be so obvious it wasn't.
Yeah, it was so obvious, hey, wait a second, he just took a load of drugs.
White guy downs four times the lethal dose and dies. I don't know how this happened.
The media says it's okay. His body was already used to above the lethal dose.
Yeah, the fentanyl vaccine. Anyway, I'll do one comment just from the end and then we'll finish. So Shaker Silver saying, when they are weak, they appeal to your principles. When they are strong, they appeal to theirs every time. The only difference being they don't have any. Otherwise, we're out of time. If you'd like more from us, lowsears.com, of course. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.